Check it out now. Huh. No doubt now.
Thursday morning, November 19th, 2020. It's the Beating the Book podcast, Mega Pod, live from the D. I like saying that every week. I've become used to it. It's our home here at the D in beautiful downtown Las Vegas. It's Gil Alexander, as always, joined by the two staples of the show from his mother's cork attic, but disguised once again in Pittsburgh, PA. What is that, Todd? What's behind you? What's the background?
I'm not sure. I just scrolled through all the wacky backgrounds, and I found one that I thought was fitting for today.
It's a bearded Todd Wishnev. And on my left, the conciliary to Derek Stevens here at Circa Sports, VP of Operations at Circa, it's Mike Palm. How you doing, man?
How are you, Gil?
I'm good. I like you got your suit on. You got your name tag.
I got a cross.
Big cross.
I wore a crucifix for Todd. I don't know if you can see it. I know I'm on this. It's like the studio at Circa. There's cameras in every direction. Right here, I wore a crucifix for Todd since he was celebrating Christmas.
Hey, how about now?
If you would just actually act the precepts of Jesus rather than talk them.
Oh, wow.
You're out of line.
Whoa. That was a shot across
but
the
But I will forgive you 490 times.
By the way, how about the Washington Wizards? What was that reference, 490? I don't even know.
They said they asked Jesus, Father, how many times must I forgive? Seven times? And he says, seven times 70 times.
Oh, I did not know that.
We believe Jesus walked on water. We just thought it was in the winter.
Is that Old Testament?
That's my favorite Mikey line of all time.
He loves it. We were skeptical Catholics growing up.
speaking of religious things, how about the state of Israel with Denny Avdija, the ninth pick in the NBA draft to the Washington Wizards? The leaflet just became a pamphlet, Mikey.
Congratulations
to all
of you.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
I saw Tamir Goodman having a little blurb about him. It was funny.
Mm.
Yeah, they were talking. And on the bottom it said Tamir Goodman, the Jewish Jordan, and he had a whole discussion about Denny. Speaking of Hashem, yeah. Hashem came through for me last week when Nicholas Chubb goes out of bounds at the 1 yard line in the greatest situation of all time.
You know how
I have used +4.5 and under 18.5, and somehow, some way, the miracle of Hashem comes through for me instead of going against me.
Here's how I knew you had that bet, because you were desperately trying to justify it on text, and I'm like, okay. Stop it. It went from
He should not be running all alone in the last play. The last plays of the game, they're supposed to run into the line and tackle. He shouldn't be running 60 yards by himself anyways. How often does that happen in a college game, not in a pro game?
I'm just saying, 99.9% win probability to 100% win probability. Like, if we're starting to do that in the NFL, and I get it, 100% is 100%, but imagine if at the end of the year, the Browns don't get in on point differential, or he loses some contract incentive because he didn't get in the end zone. Like, well, let's not take this to the ridiculous extreme. But I knew
you should have never been running all alone down the sidelines in the first place.
Okay. Mikey, let me ask you a Survivor question, because I don't know if you know this. I'm obsessed.
What did you end up using? Did you use Green Bay last week?
Green Bay Packers.
That number, E, was right on. There was 270 people that had the Packers eligible. And I said at highest it would be 180, two-thirds. And he said it'll be just over 200. It was 204.
Yeah.
He nailed it. In retrospect, if you could have got through, now it looks like the Sunday after Thanksgiving with the Packers hosting the Bears looks like the layup. Looks like by far the best choice you could have made on that Sunday if you could have held the Packers back.
I don't
know.
That game scares me.
Really?
Division games always scare me. This is the gauntlet. This is the Circus Survivor gauntlet.
This is it.
This Sunday, Thanksgiving, and next Sunday. Three games in 8 days, and I just pray I see you on the other side. One of the 301 left.
We went from 309 to 301, 310 to 301, 6 lost on the Eagles, 3 lost on the Ravens. I think if the Ravens weren't playing on Thanksgiving, more would have lost on the Ravens, but
yes.
Because some were still saving them. And now do you even want to use them against Pittsburgh?
Nope.
I don't know what the play is. If you had two, you'd have to do a double option.
James, you have two left in Survivor?
I do have two left. I purchased three, and I still have two. And like you, I did do Green Bay last week. And like every single week, it feels like it's coming down to a last second drive. Some cases, it's a last second field goal. I feel like it's been a sweat with these big favorites coming down. Now, fortunately, there hasn't been a big favorite upset for quite a while. but it feels like it's a sweat for the last, probably the last month. So you're obsessed by it. I'm
double
haunted
obsessed
by it at this point. I don't know. I figure it'll get real if I can get through Thanksgiving.
Well, no, I didn't give James his proper introduction. It's former Westgate Super Contest champion, James Salinas, everybody.
And co-host of the Mike Pritchard Power Hour.
And co-host of the Mike Pritchard Power Hour, otherwise known as Betting Across America. Is that what you call it, the Mike Pritchard Power Hour?
I love it.
On VSiN, SiriusXM Channel 204, noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, on SiriusXM Channel 204. James, first of all, thank you for being on the Megapod. First time you've ever been on the Megapod, right?
It has been. I'm assuming this is a family show, right? So we'll conduct ourselves appropriately.
Oh, how you guessed correctly. No. Now you've really reached the big time, by the way, that you're on this show. So James, is your strategy, if you get by this Sunday, to use opposite teams with your two remaining entries on Thanksgiving?
I don't know. I feel like I'm gonna be that standard athlete cliche and just take it one week at a time. And actually, I kind of scrapped what I projected out a long time ago, just based on we knew that COVID was going to be an issue, and it was back in September and early October. Schedules being shifted around, games that you thought were going to be played this week now moved back and moved around. So I just play it week to week. So I'm hopeful. Maybe that might be if I'm fortunate enough to get both entries through this Sunday, looking at Thursday, that might be the option. But then, you know, I have five out of the six teams still available.
Me too.
So it's a juggling queue. I don't even know what I'm going to do. I got to figure out what I'm going to do for this Sunday, because right now I have no idea.
Yeah, we'll get to our Survivor picks later. But can I just tell you this, Mikey, last thing about Survivor? And I know this is the first week that everybody put in their entries.
Finally,
the
week 10 was the first week they all submitted.
See what it is next year. But I looked back at the 10 games I've had so far. Five of them were complete sweats. So the notion of, you know, picking this week, like, well, I don't know, that team's the layup. There is no such thing as a layup. People are kidding themselves if they think there's a layup. Everything that looks like a layup just skims by.
The Steelers, the only team you've used already?
Yes.
Out of the six? Yeah.
Correct. Yes. What about for you, James? What's the only team on Thanksgiving you use?
I used Baltimore.
Wow. Okay. So again, three Thanksgiving games.
I do have Pittsburgh still alive.
Houston, yep. Detroit, Washington, Dallas, and Baltimore, Pittsburgh. You could not have asked for a better trio of games from your perspective.
They're all pick-ems. You don't even know the quarterback in half of the who's going to be quarterback in half of those games.
Yeah. Well, I'll get to what I'm thinking about that when we get to Survivor. Let's start with our best bets. This is how it works, of course. Best bets across.
Wait, do you want the update on records?
Oh, I don't. Sorry, I do not. But go ahead.
Todd, please. Court stenographer Todd Wishnev with the update.
Sports stenographer Todd Wishnev here with the update on Mikey's 0-2-1 week, and he only got the one when Kyler Hale Murray.
Wow.
The ball comes flying out of the skies and touchdown, baby, in a game we had no business losing. Anyways, Mikey falls to 15-13-2. Gil goes also to 15-13-2, and I am at 14-15-1 with a 1-1-1 week. In the teaser scenario, Gil and me are tied for first place at 7-3, and Mikey lost his teaser last week, and he's down to 6-4. I also lost, and I'm also down to 7-3. So we're doing well on teasers.
We are doing well on teasers. A lot of Stanford Wong options again this week. We'll get to those also on the show. Okay, since you bring it up, the Nick Chubb thing was one thing. Cliff Kingsbury is getting a lot of credit for the Kyler Murray kneel down on the lined up in two-point conversion mode. Instead of kicking an extra point, when Kyler Murray hit DeAndre Hopkins for the Hail Mary, Cardinals go up two. The only way you could get beaten at that point, theoretically, is if you tried an extra point, it gets blocked and gets returned for the two-point conversion. And so Cliff Kingsbury is getting a lot of credit for, you know, going into the two-point conversion mode and just taking a knee. My belief is that he thought it was a timed down. I am convinced that he lucked into what looks like a great decision. I think he thought it was a timed down and that the 2 seconds would run out because Kyler Murray looked completely surprised, and I think they had no idea that they would actually have to.
You know, it happened in a Kansas State game. It happened in a Kansas State game about 12 years ago. I remember I was involved in the point spread, and I remember they didn't do the two-point conversion for the exact same reason. So I don't know whether you're right or wrong about Cliff Kingsbury. He's not the brightest bulb in the tool shed. So it wouldn't surprise me if he didn't know.
Not the brightest bulb in the tool shed.
I had the Bills plus 2.5 on a live ticket. And when they scored there, I said to Derek, they're not going to kick this point. Because if you remember the old rules, if you blocked a kick, it was only worth one.
Yes.
So you would kick it, you'd still win by one. But now that it's worth two, I said he's going to take a knee, and he did.
You're smart.
Well, you also could try to run it in and just give it to Murray and try to go four. What are the odds that they can pull it out of him, catches it?
Why do anything? Why do anything? You might as well just take a knee. I mean, even though I wanted it to be, you know, three because of my pick against you, Mikey.
All right. Best bets. Let us begin with our esteemed guest, Mr. James Salinas. What is your first best bet of three, sir?
Well, I think so. Looking at the top three, I mean, honestly, you know my process, Gil, is I need to see all of our practice reports through Thursday and Friday. And especially this year, I think the value of trying to get ahead of the line as opposed to the value of knowing personnel availability is, and I definitely defer to the latter. But in this case, for you guys and this show, I think I will start off with our first game. I'm going to go with Miami here in Denver on the road. I think it's mainly 3.5, so I don't know how you guys want to look at these numbers, but yeah, so I'm going to lay the 3.5 with the Dolphins on the road here in the Mile High City. And ultimately, this is more so, I mean, we've seen what Miami's doing. They've made the change at quarterback. I think Tua has helped them kind of expand their offense within the red zone. That's given them more playmaking ability and really given Chan Gailey a chance to catch up to the 21st century and open the playbook for Tua, because he has the ability to move around and they kind of play left-handed as an offense now. So it's difficult for teams now that they're getting a few weeks, but difficult for teams to adjust to that. And they've been taking advantage of that clearly in the red zone. But more so, this is a bet against Denver and really what the dysfunction is within that locker room between the disconnect of the coaching staff and those players. Vic Fangio, I mean, he's multiple generations removed from this current generation of players that are playing the National Football League. And he's as old school as it gets. And he is not interested in trying to baby players and bring them along. They pretty much left Drew Lock out there last week to continue taking a beating against the Raiders. He's got bruised. They haven't really let up. They haven't really put out there exactly what happened to Drew Lock. Contusion in the ribs. Did he get hit? Does he need a hug? Whatever that is.
Bruised ego.
But Vic Fangio, yeah, there's one too for sure. But Vic Fangio is not one to give hugs during the game. And Drew Lock is constantly looking around for someone to give him a hug. That's not going to happen. So there's a big disconnect within that locker room between that coaching staff and in particular this offense. There's also a disconnect between those two units. Usually offense and defense, they don't hang out. They don't like each other a whole lot, but they will respect each other. I think there's a point now where this defense is getting tired of having to carry the load for the Denver Broncos. And now they're knowing that really, I think last week, the fact that it was real clear that the eye on the prize for the Broncos is to let Drew Lock play the season out. And his development is really more important than the Broncos winning games at this point. So that's clearly the message within the locker room. There's been a lot of talk out here in Denver about where are they going to go at the quarterback position, et cetera. Where are the defensive players' mindset right now? Because they are not happy the fact that they have to constantly come out here and play, you know, have to have a stop each and every time on the field, because they know offensively that it's just a complete mess. So that's my first play. I will lay the 3.5 and take Miami Dolphins on the road.
Miami Dolphins, Todd, hit it.
Miami Dolphins, are they for real? It's looking like they really might be. That Brian Flores, what can you say about him? Hey, maybe Tua's actually good.
Wow, nice. Very nicely done. By the way, we're giving James plus 3.5 or plus 3?
Minus.
3.5. It's minus 3.5.
Minus 3.5.
Yep.
Or minus 3 is what I'm saying.
No, it's minus 3.5.
Okay. Gil found it minus 3, minus 145, though, he wants to use.
By the way, you guys are desperately trying to make that a thing, but that's always.
By the way,
we've said
no, reduce. Nobody was trying desperately to make it a thing, but it's really not fair to take a minus 125.
Wait a minute. On the entire history of this show, we've talked about reduced juice and extra juice. You guys, all of a sudden, because I had that, you thought you were clever and made a thing of it. It's not a thing.
Well, minus 20 is one thing, but minus 25.
I want an asterisk. If Gil and I finish tied this year for the best record, I should win it because he was used a minus 125 tie.
Good Lord.
Mikey, unfortunately, I don't like to agree with you against Gil, but in this case, I have to.
Hey, you know what? I made another formatic error here.
About Thursday night game.
Yeah,
Wasn't Todd chirping in on this?
By the way, I was about to interrupt, but I knew I'd get yelled at for interrupting. I was going to say, Gil, do you want to keep with the format?
I know. I should really know this. James, do you have any opinion on the Thursday night game tonight?
I don't like where the Arizona Cardinals are on the defensive line right now. I think we've seen that the offensive line for Seattle, they're hurting at center. I don't even know who's going to start at center for Seattle tonight. But everything falls on Russell Wilson to have to make plays. They haven't had any sense of the running game with the injuries that they've sustained at that position. But as far as the Cardinals being able to apply any kind of pressure, we know Chandler Jones has been out for the last few weeks, but right now that entire defensive line, it's all going to be backups. And in my mind, it's one of the things that I constantly do with the NFL is it's just a severe drop off from experience and talent level from starters to backups. I don't know how Arizona creates any type of pressure with on Russell Wilson. So from that respect, I think he's still obviously a very talented player. This is more of a redemption spot for them. Short week. They get to be at home. No 12th man. We know that. But I'm going to lean towards Seattle laying the 3 and getting themselves right this weekend this week on the short week.
All right. A little lean. Not a best bet, but a lean. Best bet for you tonight?
No,
nothing. Todd?
I'll be just watching in-game and looking to go over if it looks like a typical Seattle game where they just score at will and give up at will. So if that starts to be happening very quickly, DK Metcalf's running wild and Lockett's running wild and Kyler Murray can't get stopped. I mean, if it's one of those kind of deals, I'll be jumping on the over probably.
I think for me tonight on primetime action, MSG Plus, 7 to 10 Eastern, Monday through Friday. I think that it might be a Cardinals over teaser situation for me, but I will say from an in-game perspective, this feels like whichever team falls behind, there might be an opportunity on the team that falls behind in-game, just because this feels like a basketball game.
Yeah, because it's going to just come down to the end like last time. Yeah.
Remember, they had a 6-6 game a couple years back. All right, so James Salinas' first pick is the Miami Dolphins. Mikey. Pick number 1.
I'm going to take the Vikings and lay 7 against the Cowboys.
Ooh.
Tough spot. Short week. Cowboys off the bye. But the Cowboys can't stop the run. Minnesota's going to be able to run the ball here. And when they can run the ball, Kirk Cousins is a serviceable NFL quarterback. I'm not buying into the game that Dallas gave. They gave the Steelers a good game the last time they played. And we're not. This is a pathetic team. This is a horrific team. I know they've gotten some players back. I'm not going to stop fading them, though. And I think the Vikings now are back in the playoff hunt. They've resurrected their seasons from the 0-4 start. And I think they're going to be focused here. And it's not an easy spot to go to Minnesota, fans or no fans.
Two things. One, your cross is making me nervous. Two, serviceable. I love that term. It's the most damning with faint praise thing you could ever give someone. Mikey, you're a serviceable vice president of operations here at Circa.
As compared to Ben Fox.
Yeah.
Not serviceable.
It can't get through one of these without a shot. Todd, what's your first best bet?
My first best bet is going to be
James just learned the name of his show.
What'd you say?
James just learned the name of his show, for God's sake.
Richard Lord. Power Hour.
Oh, Mike kills me. Yes, Todd, I'm sorry. Sorry to interrupt.
I'm going to go with the Washington football team as my number one pick.
Oh,
at
my God.
Minus 1, I believe, is what do you have for them?
1.5.
Yeah, 1.5. Consensus.
You have 1.5, really? Okay, fine.
Well, because I see a lot of 2s, so yeah. I'm just sort
okay,
of.
Okay, I'll take them 1.5. That's fine. So the reason I'm taking the Washington football team is back in the day, there was a guy named Alex Smith, I believe was his last name, and he had 2 legs, and he was a good quarterback. I mean, maybe I shouldn't go crazy. He was an above-average quarterback.
He was very good at Utah. He's had a very fine career.
Yeah, he's a good quarterback. That's what I'm saying. And now he's back, and it seems like he's got his 2 legs back, and they're down 24-3 to Detroit. They didn't just decide, okay, game's over. They came back like they were a legitimate team on the road and made it a game. I don't think they're that bad. I don't think the Redskins are that bad. I know everyone loves old Joey Burrow, and he's the next, you know, coming of whatever. But, you know, the Redskins just, you know, they play tight with the Giants. They crushed Dallas. You know, last week I was very impressed that they didn't just, you know, pack up tent and get out of that game. They came back. They made it a game. I think Cincinnati on the road is going to have some trouble. You know, they've played much better at home this year. Really, the only game they were in on the road was the Indianapolis game where they got way ahead. I'm sorry, they tied at Philadelphia also. But to me, this looks like a game. The Redskins, you know, they don't look like they're quitting to me. They look like they're still playing. And I really like Alex Smith. So I'm going to take Washington.
All right. Washington football teamers -1.5 versus Cincinnati. My number one pick will be the New England Patriots, 2.5-point favorites. What is it, 2 or 2.5? Let's say 2 at Houston.
Let's see what we got for New England. Two. Yeah.
Do you want to give it to me at -103? You guys want to give it to me? No.
You know, it's amazing, Gil, for such a bright guy that you don't understand that -25 is something. But we'll let it go. Go ahead.
I think I understand the concept, Todd. But
doesn't seem like you
thanks
do.
For belittling me. So here's the thing. On Guessing Lines for 2 weeks now, and for those who listen to Guessing Lines, they know this, the line that I have been the most off on involves the Houston Texans. Last week, I guessed Cleveland would be 4.5-point favorites or 5-point favorites, can't remember, against them. And Chrissy was like, it's 2.5 or 3. I like your line a lot better. And I couldn't believe that Houston was getting that respect. This week, I said New England -2.5. This was Monday morning. And Chrissy said, I like your line better. You won't believe this. Houston, it's either a pick'em or Houston is favored by 1.5. And that first 24 hours from Monday to Tuesday, this came all the way to New England -2.5. I do not understand why the Houston Texans seem to get this initial line respect coming out of weekends. I don't think Bill Belichick is going to let Romeo Crennel beat him here, period. And I think New England feels like they have a second life here after being 2-6. They were on the cusp of 2-6. They pulled that Jets game out of their behinds. And now, after the win against the Ravens, they're 4-5, and they're actually thinking things about their season. I still have a season win total under 9.5 on them. I don't think they get there. But I do think they are good enough to go into Houston and figure out a way to beat the Texans. Giving less than a field goal, I will take the New England Patriots as my number one pick of the week. Jamesy, number two.
Now, so I'm clear with your format. If we both like the same game, do I need to find another game, or can I bandwagon with you?
However, James, if two of the other panelists have picked a game, it's a good idea not to make it a third, because it never wins.
That's right.
But you're allowed to.
You are allowed
to. But you could just mark it as a loss.
All right. Well, it's in the center square with this one too, Gil. I think that I'm right with you with New England.
Yes.
I don't even know if the Texans want to play, let alone what Todd was just talking about, that last play against the Browns last week, where you're trying to get a stop and down the sideline goes Chubb sliding out of bounds at the 1 yard line. How do you give that up? I don't know why the Texans even want to play. They can't even keep their lead PR rep around anymore. I mean, everybody's just getting jettisoned from that team. I think at this point now they're past the halfway point. Everything falls on to Deshaun Watson's shoulders to have to make every single play. I think as far as injuries are concerned at the running back position for Houston, David Johnson is on IR, his backup. Now, Duke Johnson has not practiced this week. He is questionable. I don't know who the hell is going to run the football. Laremy Tunsil at the left tackle position also is not practicing. So their offensive line's a mess, not only from that standpoint, where I think Stephon Gilmore should be back finally for New England to bolster that secondary to help against the only pass, you know, with the pass attack for Houston, it's the only strength offensively they're going to have, but more so just from the mindset of the Texans. I see this team continually ready to check out here, and you're going to place a New England team, just like you said, Gil, where Bill Belichick is not going to lose to Romeo Crennel, and that team is not going to lose this weekend either. So 1.5, 2.5, anything under a 3, I'll take it. I'll lay that number, win by a field goal on the road, New England Patriots as my second play.
I love being on the same side as James is. If you could be on the same side as a super contest champion as a 15-13-1 asterisk guy, you take that opportunity every time you get it. Mikey, number two.
My next two picks are both already given.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to give them both right now.
All right, let's do it.
Okay. My number two pick is, I agree with James, I'm on a fade of Denver. Denver is awful.
Hmm.
I argued with Lombardi for 5 minutes on Sunday about this game. He said this was – oh, in the Raiders game. This was perfect spot for Drew Locke. They were going to beat the Raiders. I said, you said they'd go 7-1 at home last year, Michael. But, I mean, come on. This team is bad. This is a bad team. They don't have a quarterback. I agree with James. The disconnect there with the coaches, they're just not good. They're just not good. And Miami continues to get better every week. Look, I mean – they are playing very, very well. I'm still impressed by that win over the Chargers. The Chargers are a good team. I love your pick. I love your pick to win the NFC, the AFC East.
Thank you.
I think right now they're the best team.
Buffalo's 11-50, good. I'm sitting
I
on.
I like that pick. I think they go to Denver. I think they handle this game. I think Tua, as you said, continues to mature as a quarterback. Their defense will confuse a bad Broncos offense, and I look for this game under, and I like Miami to win by a touchdown or more.
How long before you and Lombardi just get in a fist fight?
Never. This guy's in love with me. I mean, he's texting me every day about the song lyrics I put up with the playbook. I mean, it's incredible.
Really?
If I ever did stand-up comedy, I'd have to have Lombardi in the front row because he laughs at everything I say. You know what I mean? He is a great shill for me.
It's a great audience to have around.
You know, he really loves people or he hates them. There's no middle ground with that.
Seems that way, doesn't it?
That's why he won't text me.
Seems that way, doesn't he?
All right, Todd. What's the? Oh, so that's two and when you're third.
My third is I agree with Todd. I like.
You can't. 1 second. Can we go in order?
No. Because the picks have been given. I don't want to spend a lot of time. I agree with Todd.
Yeah.
I have the Washington football team. I think the Washington football team is the best team in the NFC East.
Better than the Giants?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not a Daniel Jones guy. And if Alex Smith is halfway healthy and he can push off at all, I think they're the better team. They have the best defense in that division. Philadelphia is abominable.
Oh,
abominable. That team is awful. My God, are they awful. And Doug Peterson might be.
One note on Drew Locke. Drew Locke is Jeff George. Huge arm, no brain. I remember watching a Missouri-Purdue game one time when he was at Missouri, and I had Purdue, and I had no business covering the game. Missouri could have literally scored 500 points had Drew Locke had a brain in his head, and somehow I survived and won that game, and I thought to myself, this guy is not going to be successful in the NFL.
I don't think he has as big of arm as Jeff George, and I don't think he's as dumb, but your point is taken.
Yeah, Jeff George was not a likable guy.
No.
Cannon arm.
No, I just meant from the, like, he has the NFL tools.
Right.
I don't think he has the NFL brain.
Listen, Todd, someone who's as smart as you should be able to tell that I understood what you said there. That was a shot at what you said to me earlier, in case you were wondering.
I'm obviously not that bright.
Okay. Number two from you, sir.
My number two is going to be the Dirty Atlanta Falcons Birds. The Dirty Birds
Falcons Birds.
Do you remember the Dirty Birds?
Yes. Jamal Anderson's dance.
No. The sequencing wasn't as
good. Dirty Atlanta Falcons.
The sequencing there wasn't as eloquent as I thought it might have been.
The Dirty Atlanta Falcons
very bright.
Bird.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the Dirty Birds, and here's why. You know, they're really easily could be 6-3. I mean, I know that's crazy to say, but they could easily be 6-3 had they not just given games away. They crushed Denver. They didn't just beat. I know that the final score is very misleading in that football game. I mean, they're beating people pretty nicely here. They crushed Minnesota on the road. This is a decent team, Atlanta. And now I get to go against Jameis Winston for reals. That is something you like to do. You know what? Do you know what Jameis Winston's going to do with New Orleans in a competitive game? None of us know whether he's going to be decent or not good or whether they're going to have Taysom Hill in there for 50. New Orleans has a hard time beating anybody big anyways because their defense isn't that good. Aside from the week against Tom Brady, they were giving up tons of points, give up 24 to Carolina, 27 to the Chargers, 23 even to the Bears. I mean, you give up 23 to the Bears and you're telling me Matt Ryan's not going to torch you? It's going to be hard to win by five. Give me Atlanta, Dirty Birds, Falcons, and Gwinnett County, Cobb County, and any other county around Atlanta, plus five.
He's still got election fever. Sean Payton is going to jam Taysom Hill down our throats in this game.
Have you guys gotten paid on your election bets yet?
No.
Then why isn't there still a lineup if it's not done?
No, I know that was
there should be
that
a
was
line.
His point.
But there should be.
Yeah, that was the first thing he said that was bright about the selection. Yeah,
it was a good point.
Yeah, no, it was a good point. That's absolutely right. We should all get paid already. Mm-hmm. If there's no lineup, then it's done. Though he's right about his winning bets, though. Everything after the actual putting it on the bet. I love you, E. Green Bay is my number two play. Green Bay plus, what is it, 1.5?
Green Bay, I have Green Bay plus 2, but you tell me.
Well, if you want to give me 2, give me 2.
Wait, let me just check it again, just to be safe.
Give me 2.
Green Bay, I have them at, how come I can't find them?
All right, as you determine that, I'm taking the Packers just because I don't think they should be dogs in this game at all.
Well, plus 1.5, plus 2. I think plus 2 is fair.
Okay, I don't think they should be dogs in this game by any stretch. Obviously, they didn't appear to give a darn, if I may say so, against the Jaguars last week as we skated by with their survivor pick. But to me, and I do know the Colts once again coming off extra rest here after they doubled up the Titans, I just the Phillip Rivers 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1 shenanigans on Thursday Night Football was finally his coming out of the closet as a person who does not sneak. 7 opportunities where they, 6 where they ran the football on 3rd or 4th-and-1, a 7th where they pass, and then the 8th was the pinch sneak to Jacoby Brissett. And again, if you're like, well, why are you making such a big deal about sneaks? This is a competitive advantage for any defense against the Colts in short yardage situations. At some point, this nips them in the butt in a very key moment in a big game. I think Aaron Rodgers, I think you throw out that game against the Jaguars, quite frankly, last week. I think in a game with Aaron Rodgers and Phillip Rivers, I will happily take the Green Bay Packers here against the Colts. I think the Colts and the Titans are both kind of fake good teams. I don't really buy into them. I think the Packers are a better football team. I will take them in a pick'em situation, or excuse me, getting 2 points, where there is no home field advantage in the NFL this year. It is not a thing. And so give me Green Bay, which essentially is a neutral field, getting a couple points. It's just a numbers play for me. I'll take the Packers. Number 3 from James.
Well, not knowing how you guys have gone through 10 weeks with the podcast, for me, I have been anti-Adam Gase for 2 years now. Talk about a dysfunctional coach that everybody is – he's running everybody out of there that won't – that don't want to buy into whatever crazy cross-eyed dysfunctional game plan that he brings in and week out. But this may get me kicked off your program and never invited back to the Beating the Book podcast again. But I'm actually going to take the Jets in this situation.
Wow.
I have a plus 8.5 out here. A couple
plus
books
9
out here.
And half. Eight, we'll give you 9.5.
Oh, 9.5. Give me another point. Why not?
9.5.
I can buy it up to 10. That's a ton of points. Where are the Los Angeles Superchargers getting these numbers to be favored over anybody at this point? It's a 2-7 football team. This is not a bet on the Jets, although they do have Quinnen Williams coming back. That's going to help within the defensive line. I would bet the over as far as roughing the passer penalties in this game for Greg Williams' defense. They're always good for a few of those. That'll help sustain a few drives. It'll help sustain a few drives for the Chargers. But ultimately, even if they have the lead, you know Anthony Lynn and company are going to find a way to dump the game. They're not going to be able to. I don't know if they're even going to win this game. I'm rooting against it because whoever has the Chargers left, I'm hoping that they're going to want to use the Chargers in the survivor pool this weekend, thinking that the Jets are just a bet against week in and week out when it comes to survivor pool. And that makes sense. But in this case, you're going to have a team that's desperate. It's very hard, obviously, to go undefeated in this league, and it's pretty hard to go winless in this league as well. So I think from that standpoint, with the Jets coming off the bye, not wanting to be, if there's ever a sense that there's going to be desperation from the Jets playing like it week in and week out to not be an 0-16 football team, despite Adam Gase and all his really just constant dysfunction week in and week out, I'm going to take the Jets plus the Todd said it 9.5. That's fine. Whatever that is, anything over that 8, I will take it. I think the Jets stay in this game because of the Chargers' ineptitude to finish off any opponent. So give me the points on the road with the New York Jets.
Wow. Taking the Jets, 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 Jets. Joe Flacco at the helm plus 9.5. By the way, guys, Woj just confirmed Klay Thompson ruptured Achilles. Ugh. You imagine back-to-back major major leg injuries. Remember when I popped my Achilles in front of you guys? You remember what my words were? Mikey said, "Are you in pain?" I said, "Oh no, it's the mental anguish. It is the mental
anguish." That was right before Todd said, "Yes, can we get those two balls?
Hey, can I get those two tennis balls back?" Freshly ruptured Achilles tendon.
What does he need them for in the ER, he said.
The mental anguish of what I'm about to face for the next year. And Todd goes, "Hey, can I get those tennis balls back?" The great lines ever. Unbelievable. Poor Klay Thompson, man. And poor Warriors. I so badly wanted to see the band back together in Golden State. That sucks. Todd, pick number three.
I was going to go with Green Bay, too, but you know what? Because you picked him, I'm going to take somebody else.
Don't do that. You just told James he shouldn't do that. Why are you doing that?
No. I'll tell you why I'm not doing it, because I have four picks here that I liked, all and right. One of them was Green Bay. So I figured
and you
if
need
you're
to catch
Green
up.
Bay.
And you need to catch
what'd
up.
You say?
And you need to catch up.
Yeah. That's another reason I need to catch up. Okay. So here's what I'd like to take. I'd like to take the Dallas Viking game under 48.
Ooh.
Dallas Vikings under 48, and here's why. I think quietly, the Minnesota team is becoming the old Minnesota team, which plays good defense, runs the ball, makes sure that Kirk Cousins doesn't beat them, just grinds out W's, real methodical. That's the way Zimmer used to coach him up, and then early this season they got away from that, and now lately it seems like they're cleaning it back up, and it's back to just grinding it out, good defense. And that defense used to be really stellar in years past. Early in this year it hasn't been good, but it seems to be picking it back up lately. So I just don't see how Dallas is going to score a lot of points. They needed one of those wacko kick return tricks to get points against the Steelers. I think they're going to need a lot more. Who's starting? Gilbert? Or I don't even know who these guys are who's starting at quarterback for Dallas. You know, how's Dallas going to get to more than 17 points? I don't see it. 30-17 still goes under. So give me the under 48 in Dallas, Minnesota.
Andy Dalton expected to start for the Cowboys this weekend.
Okay, I don't care who's starting. They all stink.
Clint Longley expected to start for the Cowboys this weekend.
How about the Clapper? Because wasn't the Clapper a backup quarterback?
He was, yeah.
Steve Ballure.
Gary Hogaboom is starting this weekend for the Cowboys.
Bernie Kosar.
Oh, that's very obscure. Yes.
He was there.
Uh-huh.
How about Dandy Don Meredith?
Didn't Kosar come in an NFC Championship game when Aikman got hurt against the 49ers and nurse him through in the last quarter and a half to get him.
I don't remember.
I think so. Right. Yeah. I think Aikman got concussed.
Concussed. A great word. My final pick is the Tennessee Titans catching points against the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens are always tricky because they are the best come-from-ahead team in football in many respects, but they can't come from behind to save their lives.
You're getting five.
What's that?
You're getting five.
How am I getting five when I see six and a halves and sixes all over the place?
I see everywhere five.
What kinds are you looking at?
1-6 and all five. Pinnacle has five.
Oh,
Bookmaker
you know
has
what?
Five.
You know what? It literally just moved. Literally 5 minutes ago.
Interesting.
Wow. Okay. I'll still take the Tennessee Titans. So apparently the...
Mikey Gill's going to take the Titans +5 -125.
This joke keeps getting funnier.
We just kind of had a little fun because it finally came up that somebody used a -125. It wasn't a big deal.
Well, he's gonna.
It wasn't
it.
A big
he's
deal.
He's gonna milk it between now and next year.
Let's let it go, Todd.
Mikey jumps on, kicks
the last time I said
times,
it. The last time I said it, the asterisk was funny. Let's move on.
I'll agree to the asterisk tiebreaker.
It was funny.
Yeah. No,
now let's move on.
I agree
Todd.
To the asterisk tiebreaker. How about that? All right, I'm taking the Titans, a rematch of the playoff game between the Titans and the Ravens. Titans obviously famously beating the Ravens as a number one seed last year. Titans have, again, look, I just think it's just too many points. Again, it gets back to guessing lines on Monday. I thought Baltimore would be about a 4.5, 4-point favorite in this game. Didn't understand the 6 or 6.5. Not as fun now, but I'll take it at 5 because I don't want to change up. I just think the Titans have the ability that they match up quite well with the Ravens. And I do think with the Ravens, any pick against the Ravens comes down to this game script situation where if you're fortunate enough to go ahead of them, you are just way ahead of the game at that point. If you fall behind, a little more challenging, but the Titans, obviously a team that knows they can beat the Ravens even when they were at their heights last year. I don't think they're fearful of them at all. Give me the points. I will take all these. I do not understand why the Ravens are getting this kind of respect with that one-dimensional offense right now. So
Lamar, they figured out Lamar. Yeah. People have figured out Lamar. It's not, I mean, we've seen this before. A guy comes into the league, sets the league on fire. The next year, they figure him out.
Yeah.
I think they're going to have a harder time with Kyler Murray, but Lamar, they seem to have figured him out.
They figured out Greg Roman is what they figured out, Todd. All right. If they had Kubiak, they could run the ball still because he knows how to run the ball. This was a one-hit wonder, Greg Roman, running the ball last year. And he won the Assistant Coach of the Year, and now it's showing he doesn't have enough creativity in the run game.
All right, we've gotten through our three best bets, and now it is time for our best teaser of the week. And, Todd, you and I 7-3 in teasers. What's Mikey?
6-4.
All right. And James Salinas in the guest chair. James, you have honors, Your Honor. Your favorite two-leg, six-point teaser of the week.
Six-point teaser. What number do we have currently for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Chiefs, I have at 9, seven, about 8. What do you have, Gil?
I don't know. I'm starting to lose confidence in what I have here on the screen. I don't think mine is updating.
I saw an 8 early. I saw 8s out here in Denver earlier today. So
I see 7.5, 8.
Okay, well, the two-team teaser I'd like would be Green Bay teasing them up past the 7, maybe, what is that, 8 now if it's 6 points?
Green Bay
plus the 8, which should be, I think, I agree with Gil. I kind of lean towards Green Bay winning this game outright, but give me the additional points past that number. Indy's going to struggle to score. They don't have any type of a running game, and now they're having issues at the safety position as well. That's their biggest weakness for the Colts is in that secondary. They're great against the run. They do have injuries, especially at the safety positions. So I think there's going to be plenty of opportunity for Aaron Rodgers to put some points on the board. We'll see what Davante Adams' ankle looks like as the week progresses, but I'll take that plus the 8. And then with Kansas City, COVID or not, as far as the Raiders concerned. Now, we know those are big issues going on right now on that defensive side of the football. A ton of guys not gonna be able to practice this week. Maybe they play, but kind of similar to a few weeks back when they had to play Tampa and the offensive line was in quarantine. Now, majority of those guys were able to come back and play on Sunday, but they didn't have any time to practice and prepare for that defensive pass rush and all the different looks that you were going to see from the Tampa Bay defense and Todd Bowles. Same thing here with Kansas City. You have to be prepared on the field for all the different gimmicks that we know Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy, their OC, are going to bring to Las Vegas this weekend. The other piece with this too is, as a Super Bowl champion, week in and week out, Kansas City is going to get everybody's best shot. They got their best shot back a few weeks ago, lost that game outright at home to the Raiders. I think in this spot here, there's some redemption piece. As a Super Bowl champion, you're always trying to find different ways that you can find motivation. I think that was motivation enough, coupled with the apparently, I don't know, is there going to be, this is an opportunity, I think, for the Chiefs and Andy Reid and company to do a few bus laps around Allegiant Field this weekend. So I love the Chief in this spot. We can get him down below a field goal with the teasers. Count me in. Green Bay plus the 8 and Kansas City, I guess, at minus 2.
What do you think about the Raiders constantly being in COVID-19 reserve week after week? It's like their whole defense, like you said, James, is in this thing. They can now, just to be clear, they can all play by Sunday if they have a string of negatives. Do you think it's a Raiders thing or is it a Vegas thing? I'm starting to get paranoid.
Might be a little of both.
Yeah. Mikey, your favorite two-team teaser.
Don, what's the number on the Chargers game?
The Chargers
are at
9.5.
Are you sure? I'm going to appeal to you. Are you seeing 9.5?
I am seeing 9.5.
Okay,
yes.
So it's not that. Then I'm not teasing him down to 3.5.
No.
I'll take the Cardinals plus 9 tonight. I understand James' concern about the defensive line, but Wilson did not look good the last few weeks in these games. And I do think that Kyler Murray is dynamic, and this Seattle defense is just really, really, really bad under Bozo the Carroll. So I'll take plus 9, and then I'll agree with you on the Chiefs. Take them down to 2.
Yeah, like I said, I think I'm teasing Arizona tonight with the actual total tonight, but that's not my teaser of the week. Todd.
I'm going to take Green Bay plus the 8. We've all talked about why Green Bay plus, even though Philip, I'm in Philip Rivers anonymous meetings, and even, it was a tough week for the people in the meetings last week because Philip Rivers did cover, but he didn't deserve to cover. You know, that ridiculous punt helped him. So, I love going against Philip Rivers. Give me Green Bay plus the 8, and give me the Minnesota Vikings minus the 1. I already talked about why I like the Vikings, and to keep the score down against Dallas, I don't see why they shouldn't be able to win the game pretty easily. Give me Green Bay plus 8, Minnesota minus 1.
And I'm taking Green Bay plus 8, Cincinnati plus 7.5.
Mm.
I see.
Cincinnati is, plus... They're like plus 1, or you have them plus 1.5?
Wait a minute. You had Washington earlier. Didn't we give you minus 1.5? So how am I only getting the 7?
That's right.
I have Washington minus 1.5
as
well.
Thank you very much.
Okay, recount,
Gil, recount.
Total recount. Can we do a recount on this? Plus 7.5.
Cincinnati plus 7.5.
Yeah, I think Burrow and company keep it close. Yes, Todd, you were going to say?
Nothing. No, I'm good.
Okay. Survivor pick. So me and James, he's still alive in Survivor. You're not required to give your Survivor pick of the week here, James, if you don't want to. But if you think you know which one you're going to take in Circa, please, by all means, share with the people.
Well, maybe this can be kind of a revisit of a numbers game that we were doing every Friday from 3 years ago, where maybe I was taking this team, I wasn't taking this
segment.
Do a little Bill Belichickian move on you. I honestly don't know. I haven't looked that far ahead. I'm struggling with this week, so I'm going to let some things play out. So I don't want to say anything on there because number one, I'm sure with you we're competing against each other. But in all honesty, I just don't know right now.
It's funny, as these weeks have gone on, I have known less and less by the time of this show. I think I'm taking Anthony Lynn and the Chargers.
So I think it comes down to if you have everything available this week.
I do not have Pittsburgh available.
Okay, but I think it comes down to you can take the Vikings or the Chargers.
Vikings
That'll
or
be
Chargers.
Most people's picks, I think.
Yeah, I think if you have Pittsburgh available and you want to override Thanksgiving, you take Pittsburgh. But the other two teams are the Chargers or the Vikings. And I trust, believe it or not, the Vikings less than I do Anthony Lynn this week.
How are you going to feel, though, when there's 2 minutes to go?
Oh,
well, you got Lynn, or Kirk Cousins. What do you want? I mean, you feel bad about both of them.
It's third down and 7. Chargers are up by 2. They're at the 45-yard line. And he makes some bozo maneuver, so they have to punt the ball. Joe Flacco drives it down for a 59-yard field goal at the buzzer, and the Jets win it by 1.
Todd, forget the end of the game. How am I going to feel at the end of the first half? I'm going to be like,
that's what he does every week.
Every
he screws
week?
Up the end of the first half.
It's unbelievable.
A running clock at 140, and the Dolphins have one timeout from your own 16, and he throws 3 incomplete passes.
And this, of course, after my earlier close call with the Bucs.
He fumbled, run a read option up by 3 scores.
So then I asked you the question. That was 24-7 in that Chargers game. Mm-hmm.
Read option
Kelly.
From the 9-yard line.
And as I said at the time, it was like the Rocky music. I had come from the dead. How does he not, after having that first experience, how does that not lodge in your brain and say, let me not do something dumb again here?
They all
That's
do it.
Why.
No, he's not the only one. Tons of coaches from their own 12-yard line with no possible way of getting in field goal range love to run plays that can only go bad and cannot help you at all.
The fact that he had done it in Tampa Bay is why it made number one on America's most popular segment, No Hyperbole.
I call it No Hyperbole, and it's a big ripoff.
Of your grievances?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's a ripoff.
Festive. Feats of strength.
Grievances was the original.
Gil, I got a hard stop. Can I give you the game I'm not interested in?
Yes, please.
Okay. I have no interest in the Packers and Colts, and I'll tell you why. You love the Packers here. I just think the Packers are too Jekyll and Hyde.
They are.
They could win this game, like we said about that Miami-Arizona game. They could win this game by 13, and they could lose this game by 4. I mean, they could because their performances are inconsistent, especially on the road. So I want to know what part. James, thank you for being with us.
One more, last one.
What?
Big favorite, most likely to lose outright.
God almighty.
Your choices are Pittsburgh, 10.5, or let's call it 10-point favorites at Jacksonville. There's only 4 choices. Chargers. 9.5-point favorites hosting the Jets.
Yeah.
Minnesota, 7-point favorites hosting Dallas. And then Kansas City, above the 7 now, I believe, at
Chargers because of Anthony Lynn.
Chargers because of Anthony Lynn.
Thank you, James.
Now your excuse, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please put that cross back under your shirt. Thank you.
Jeez, and go to Bible study.
With the religious symbols, this guy. Very, very intimidating. All right, James. Let's ask the final two questions. Let's start with the second one first. Of those 4 big favorites, final two questions: which is the most likely to lose outright between Pittsburgh at Jacksonville, Chargers hosting the Jets, Minnesota hosting Dallas, Kansas City at Las Vegas? Pardon me.
Gosh, I hate the scheduling spot for Pittsburgh here. We knowing that they have a short week with division rival Ravens on Thursday night, Thanksgiving night. But I'm in agreement with Mike. I think if it's one of them that's going to fall prey, it would be the Chargers. Basically, again, bet against Anthony Lynn. I actually took the Chargers back a few weeks back in the Survivor to get them out of the way, so I wouldn't have to be conflicted this week to see them playing the Jets. I took them when they played Jacksonville maybe 3 weeks ago or so. I'm going to go with that. I'll go with the Chargers to lose. The biggest favorite to lose on the board, and we'll go with the Chargers to lose to the New York Jets.
And that Jacksonville game, they were down a touchdown late in the third quarter, too.
Were they down 16, I think? I think at one point they were down 16.
I think they were up 16, and or then was they it coughed up, they up the I, lead yeah. by seven, yeah. and then there was a fumble, and it turned the game around in the late third quarter. But that's what I'm saying when I say I had 5 close calls out of 10. That's why, like, everybody's like, I don't know, this is a free – nothing's easy, nothing. So, like, the notion – Anthony Lynn could end up beating the Jets by 23, and it'll be an easier walk than Pittsburgh could be. I mean, none of these are easy. So Chargers, the Anthony Lynn pick is James. That was also Mikey's. Todd?
You know, the Jets averaged 7.5 yards a play, at least for the first half against the Patriots with Joe Flacco. You know, it wouldn't shock me if Anthony Lynn finds a way to blow it.
I will take Minnesota. For some reason, Anthony Lynn would usually be the pick here, but I just have a bad feeling about Dallas and Minnesota for some reason. I just have a bad feeling. So I'd say Minnesota, just a hair over the Chargers. And the final question. We live in a bizarro world where, of all these 14 games, again, there's 4 teams on bye this week, but of all the 14 games remaining, including tonight's game, let's say we were forced to bet a side on each and every one of them, but we were allowed one free pass. Mikey said it's Green Bay, Indianapolis for him. What is it for you, James?
Detroit, Carolina. We don't know who's going to start at quarterback for either of those teams. Bridgewater has knee issues, and I suspect he probably won't play. But if that's the case, you got Will Greer and PJ Walker, but you don't know who's going to start the quarterback position. Same thing with Detroit and Matthew Stafford with his thumb. But also, Detroit is not a team. I hate Detroit. I'm not going to back Detroit. I don't even want to play Detroit until they get rid of Matt Patricia as the head coach, because there's another team that can't find a way to finish. They were very fortunate last week. I'm sure Matt Prater is one of their best offensive players, as always, bailing out Matt Patricia again from blowing another big lead to the Washington football team. I don't want any part of that game or that franchise for that matter.
James, cut to a shot of you on Thanksgiving morning sweating out your Survivor pick on the Lions. Just dying in a corner. What's wrong, James? Your wife? You're like, nothing. I'm betting on David Blau or Chase Daniel to survive. Todd, game you want no part of.
Rams Buccaneers again. The Rams are up and down. You know, they play great against Seattle. They play crappy against somebody else. I just don't know what to get out of the Rams. And then the other question is, if they can pressure Brady, all of a sudden he looks terrible. If they don't pressure Brady, then he looks like the Hall of Famer that he is. So I don't understand what to do with that game at all.
I said this on a numbers game this morning. I also said it on guessing lines, I think. The two Rams stats of the week. Sean McVay, 31-0 when he leads at the half. 31-0 when he leads at the half. And here's one from this year. Rams defense has given up in their 9 games this year. They're 6-3. The Rams defense has given up a maximum of 3 points in 8 of their 9 second halves this year. Only Buffalo got more than a field goal against the Rams defense. Pretty interesting for a team that's supposedly known for offense and Sean McVay.
That's why I like the in-game games, because that's a game where I think if you see the Rams getting pressure on Tom Brady, go ahead and bet the Rams. If they're not getting pressure on Tom Brady, then don't, you know. But that's why I love in-game betting, because you just get so much more insight as to how the game's going to, you know, play out.
Totally agree. That's why I do Primetime Action with Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, Danielle Alvari, MSG Plus, Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. My pick for this
that
was...
That sounds like a show I would have been great on with Hugh Gill, huh?
It sounds like it was... You know what? It's a vehicle made for Todd Wishnev. It really
is. Yes, it really was. Yeah.
Well, what can I say?
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? I had a toss-up here between 2 games. Philadelphia, Cleveland, and Detroit, Carolina. But I think, James, I'm with you. I think it's Detroit, Carolina. We don't know if it's Stafford. We don't know if it's Bridgewater, as you said. But just in general, I think I answered Detroit more to this question than any other team. I have no feel for the Lions week to week. You have no feel for the Lions in the middle of from one quarter to the next. I mean, they coughed up that huge lead to Chicago earlier in the year. They almost coughed it up to Washington. So that's a team I want no part of. So it's Detroit and Carolina. And Carolina's no sure thing from week to week either. That's for sure. And no quarterbacks? That's obviously the answer. Detroit, Carolina. Thank you to Mikey Palm, who's gone. Thank you, Todd Wisham. Jamesy. James Salinas, everybody. Co-host of...
By the way, you buried the lead on James. How are you doing, James, in the regular contest? That's your forte.
I'm probably, honestly, I don't know exactly where I stand with the standings. I'm probably about 6 or 7 games above 500 right now, I think. So I've honestly, Todd, I changed my strategy with it this year. I've been playing more for the 4-week contests. And then so the first, because they have such lucrative prizes for those mini contests, that's where, like this year, I was in the hunt come week 4 for the first quarterly, but I had to do some contrarian plays, and then I buried myself doing it that way. So it's been kind of pick up and make up from there. But strategies change just because those quarterlies have become so lucrative. So I think right now, like I said, collectively, I think maybe I'm 6 or 7 games above 500.
That's super interesting. So basically, you had to go against what you would have otherwise done because you wanted to see if you could win. That's super interesting. Right. Isn't that interesting how the whole thing has been shifted?
Well,
because
yep. Yep. And Todd, I did that last year. So last year, right about this time, I was right in contention for that third quarterly. So going into week 12, it would have been obviously week 12. I was like about 1.5 out of the first place. So had to do some contrarian plays, try to figure out what the top leaders were going to take, either go against that or go stay away from that. And then also have to play the Monday night game to give yourself a hedge play, which I did last year. So I was able to make some money, some good money either way, because it all played out that way. But those are some of the things that you kind of have to consider when you're playing these contests now, because those quarterlies are in play.
It's an excellent question. By the way, I asked it on a numbers game of James. I forgot to ask it here on the podcast side. So thank you for that, Todd. By the way, I don't know if you guys saw this. College football playoff, they refused to move it back. So they're saying that if a team comes up COVID outbreak right before a national semifinal, they're not replacing the team. And the team who is on the other side of the field just advances.
Perfect.
Imagine
wow.
If the season ends like that, college football.
Yeah, can they put an odd? Can they put some odds up on will there even be a college football playoff?
Yeah.
Yes and no. I know they do a lot of the yes and no. That would be interesting. I would tend to lean the no.
It's all in play. By the way, James, I'm going to ask you on the spot. You could say no here. Do you have any slot availability tomorrow morning to do a numbers game, or are you working?
I have to look at my schedule.
Text me later.
I'll text you later. Yeah. Let me look at my work schedule and
no
see.
No is a perfectly acceptable answer. But I just wanted, while we were here today, to ask you. Thank you for that question, Todd, because I wanted to, that's a good. Then, James, are you in Circa only? Is that your only contest you're in this year?
Correct. I'm only in the Circa. I did the Circa Millions and the Circa Survivor. That's it. No okay. Super contest for me this year.
All right. Good luck to everybody starting tonight with Arizona-Seattle, but all through week 11 in the National Football League for Mike, for Todd, for James. And thank you so much for doing this, James. Great to have you on board for the Megapod right here from the D in Las Vegas. Good luck with all your picks this weekend. Thank you so much for listening.